A New Beginning, Part 14, The Peace of Our Founder, Continued. We've been talking about the nature of our faith's founder, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do so in order that we may better walk in his ways. We want Jesus to be with us as we regrow and rebuild this church the Lord has called us into. After all, it is his church. He's the Lord of his church, and if we want him to smile upon this church and abide in this church, we have to do it his way. And we do it his way by studying his teachings, obeying his commands, and emulating his nature. We've considered his humility and gentleness, his compassion, his empathy, his beauty, and last week we started considering his peace. Today, we want to continue that. Jesus ought to know something about peace. He has rightly been called the Prince of Peace. We saw last week how Jesus is our peace with God. He reconciled us to God by his atoning sacrifice on the cross. And we saw how Jesus brought about peace between Jew and Gentile. And we saw how important it is that this peace of Jesus must rule in the church. Even though there are always challenges to that peace, even enemies of peace in the church. But so important is peace in the church that the Apostle Paul wrote to Titus in Titus 3:10, "Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him." That's just how precious unity and peace in a church is, that such things must be taken so seriously. Not that we're having any such problem here. We're not. But we will. It's pretty easy for a little church to get along, but we're growing, and it won't be as easy to keep peace in the days to come. So we must be vigilant. It's also interesting that peace is listed as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is peace. And in Galatians chapter 5, Paul contrasts the fruit of the Spirit with the acts of the sinful nature. In Galatians 5:19, he says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like." Well, notice that many of those things are relational and do violence to peace in a church. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. Those are all destroyers of peace in the church. About 40 years ago, my parents worshiped in this very sanctuary, but they stopped coming because these things were going on in the church: jealousy, envy. Jealousy is when you have something, position or status or something else, and someone else threatens it. Envy is when you covet what someone else has. Jealousy and envy are two sides of the same selfish coin. Well, then there's fits of rage. We know what that is. Selfish ambition, factions. Well, all that was going on here, and my parents felt compelled to leave. But not just them. The pastor himself, a good man, Keith Knopf, resigned over the contentious nature of people of a certain status here at that time. Amazing how a little status can go to our heads. If it happened to them, it can happen to us. I guarantee that there are cantankerous spirits lurking outside in the shadows, just waiting for an opportunity to return here. But we're always on the alert for them, always wary. As Paul said, we're not unaware of the devil's schemes. Pride invites them. Humility keeps them at bay. At another place, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he wants to visit them. But he's afraid of what they might be up to. And he says in 2 Corinthians 12:20, I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. So here, Paul is adding slander, gossip, and arrogance to the list of relational sinful behavior, all happening in the church of Corinth, in a church which Paul had said elsewhere that they had become completely defeated as far as being a true and effective church. But let me go back to Galatians 5 to get what I was going to say. This is all context and contrast to what Paul really wants to get to. Here in verse 21, Paul wants to make something very, very clear so that there's no confusion about it. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we want the kingdom of God, we can't have it if we have fits of rage, selfish ambition, envy, and jealousy. Really? Not even gossip and slander? Oh, isn't that a church thing? Gossip and slander? No, it's not a church thing. It's a church-killing thing. And here's what all that misery is contrast to. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. There it is, right there. Peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's real church life. Doesn't mean everybody always agrees, not at all. But we settle matters biblically with patience and love and humility. Then Paul says, against such things there is no law. Then he goes on to say, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Then, at another place, Paul addresses the same issue and does it in such a profound and beautiful way. Listen to this. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Then it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule. It's the peace of Christ, a peace he bled and died for. It's his peace. But it's up to each of us whether we let his peace rule. Peace wants to rule. That is, peace wants to be in charge and to dictate our words and actions, as opposed to pride, jealousy, envy, anger, fits of rage, gossip and slander and the like. All those other things want to rule. And they want very much to rule and to destroy the rule of peace. But the peace of Jesus is there. And that peace wants to rule. And it's up to each of us whether we let it. Let the peace of Christ rule. Not just our outward behavior. That's good. An outward display of peace is good and so much better than anger and division. But Jesus calls us to something higher, something deeper. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. If peace rules the heart, then the words and the actions will just take care of themselves. And why? What reason does Paul give for letting the peace of Christ rule in our hearts? It says, since as members of one body, we are called to peace. Imagine a body where one foot wants to go one way and the other the opposite way. And note that it's not talking about letting just any old peace rule. It's talking about the peace of Christ ruling. That is, unity and peace based on the ways and teachings of Jesus. Not just any peace, but the Jesus way of life peace. Any group that shares an ideology can have a kind of peace because there is agreement to a set of principles. But in the church, it's faith in Jesus, love for Jesus, and walking in the ways of Jesus. That is what we all have in common. And that is the only sound basis for peace in the church. More on the peace of Jesus next week.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.